right, if you have your Bibles, this is sort of a lesson in fetch from the Old Testament. Find the book of Jeremiah. Use the index or the table of contents if you have to. Find the book of Jeremiah. Find about the 10th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10, 23 and 24. I will read a little later. Just have it there for your ready reference. Once you find Jeremiah 10, 23, sort of slide a thumb in or leave the Bible open in your lap and let me know by seeing your eyes again or something that you're kind of ready for the scripture when the time comes. You know, I have at times in the past threatened to write a book about theology. Who knows, maybe that'll be my retirement project. By then I ought to have learned something and be able to write more than what I already know. And while one chapter I told you about last week, I believe will be called There Is a God and I Ain't It. Of course, I'll have to issue the second version for all of those grammar teachers in the world. There is God and I am not He. But second chapter, I believe, will go something like, Help, Everybody Else in This World is Messed Up. Subtitled, Oh No, I Think I'm Just Like Everybody Else. Isn't that really the case, though? I look around, and in every area of my life, I see people that are messed up. The people that I work with, the people that I live around, people that I go to church with. I mean, if I study other people around me, I quickly conclude that they're messed up. I mean, I go to a basketball game at some school that will remain unnamed to protect the guilty, like me. And wow, have you ever seen referees make so many bad calls? And why do people just let their kids run wild in public like that? I mean, wandering up and down the court, back and forth and back and forth. Shouldn't they have better control than that? And then people just get too emotional. People say bad words in the stands at basketball games. They don't when the preacher's sitting next to them, though. So I feel it's my duty to go and sit in the stands and kind of help people, you know, in that way. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's a basketball game or a great big lake with fishing boats on it. I mean, I go fishing, and I see people doing stupid stuff. I mean, people too close to the dam without a life jacket on, even though the law clearly states within so many yards of a dam you have to have a life preserver on. And then people doing, you know, more stupid stuff, like getting too close to me, throwing their lines over my lines, drifting too close, being in the spot where I want to fish. I mean, why can't they control their boats just a little better? I just don't understand all of this other people being messed up and getting in my way. And then, worst of all, every once in a while, one of them catches my fish. I mean, just look around. Some of you live, you know, with neighbors. God bless you, everyone. I mean, neighbors that are close, you know, less than a half a mile away. And you pay attention to them. Why is it that they just won't cut their grass? Don't they know how to pick trash up? I know they didn't throw all those beer cans and pop bottles and chip bags in their ditch, but they could just, you know, spend 5 minutes picking it up so I don't have to look at it. And you know, do they just have to be out at all hours of the night and come driving in and shine their lights in my windows? Make all that noise? I mean, is it really necessary to rev their engine like that right before they pull out of the driveway? And what about their dog I mean, goodness gracious. Don't you think they could keep him on their yard? I mean, they've got a big yard. They could just keep him over there. I think they should be more tolerant, too. I mean, after all, we only park in the road or have somebody park in the road, you know, once or twice a year. They don't have to call the police every time it happens. And we only have a family reunion in the backyard once a year, little cookout. We don't get too noisy. How come they have to complain? And our dog is sweet and cuddly. Wouldn't hurt a flea, and his favorite tree happens to be on the property line, so it's not really in their yard after all. Isn't that about the way it goes? Isn't that about the way it goes? So easy to see the fault in the other fellow. It is obvious that other people in this world are messed up. But do you ever wonder if it's as easy for them to see that you're messed up as it is for you to see that they're messed up? That would require a little empathy and maybe a close examination of the mirror. You know, of all the things I do know in this world, I know my own mind. I know my own intentions, and they're good mostly. But when I'm painfully honest with myself, I do realize that looking in the mirror is a little painful. Because some of the flaws I see in other people, I see dimly reflected in my own life. It's like they've rubbed off on me, and their messed upness has become part of my messed upness. So help. Everybody else is messed up, and I'm afraid they're having a bad influence on me. To Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, where from the lips of the prophet we hear the words, I know, O Lord, the way of human beings is not in their control, that mortals as they walk cannot direct their steps. Correct me, O Lord, but in just measure, not in your anger, or you will bring me to nothing. The problem is our standards are far too low. I mean, we look at other people. We look around. We look at our neighbors. We look at our family. And if we're not careful about the way we play the comparison game, we will quickly decide that we are doing pretty good. After all, we're better than they are. And if there's some area in our life where we're not better than they are, we'll look a little further down the road to the neighbor three or four houses down, and we're doing a little better off than they are in that area too. I mean, I only cut my grass every third week, but goodness gracious, that fellow down there has a hay field. He has to hire somebody with a tractor to cut it. Kind of the way our logic goes. Before long, we have found enough people to compare ourselves to that we can be all right any time, day or night. We are just all right. And the problem is we set our standards way too low. We figure out that we're okay in comparison to all the other messed up people around us. And our standard ends up all messed up. And we delude ourselves and forget that we are all messed up too. Just like everybody else around us. And then Jeremiah reminds us that a man's way is not in himself. What do you mean a man's way is not in himself? Well, if we try to direct our own life, if we try to determine our own standards, if we determine for ourselves what is right and what is wrong, we mess up. And we mess up really bad, and sometimes we mess up even worse. Think about your definition of what is good or what is right. I mean, have you ever thought about that? How is it you determine what is good? You don't think about those thoughts, do you? You guess you do sometimes. Maybe not on Super Bowl Sunday, but some days you think about those sorts of things. What is right? And if we're not careful, what is right is what feels good. What is good for us? What kind of promotes our agenda? I mean, after all, I know my own intentions. I know my own thoughts. I know my own motives. They're good mostly. And so what's good for me? What makes me feel good? What saves me from pain? That must be what is good. The problem is, there's 6 billion of us on this planet with the same idea. I mean, it's kind of like in that fishing boat, you know? I'm there. I've got my lines in the water. I'm fishing away. And somebody else gets the idea that the same spot I'm at would be a good place for them to fish too. Now, we all know they're wrong, okay? This is agreed, they're all wrong. But they have the idea that I'm wrong because I'm fishing in that spot and they ought to be in it. All of a sudden, we've got two people with two different ideas about what is right. Me and mine, them and theirs. Which one of us is correct? Don't answer that question. I might not like the answer. Apply that to every area of life. 6 billion people on the planet, all of us, all the time, determining our own course of action based on what is good for us, what is good for our people, what is right for us, what is right for our community. Before long, we're all in conflict. We've all got a different idea about what is the right course of action. What is the next right step? What should be done? What is right? Cannot be that relative. It cannot be individually decided. This is the human predicament. 6 billion people, all after what is best for me. And it's a bad way to run a planet. The way of a human being is not in themselves. We can't direct our own way. I have this story that I've been told. You know, I'm not a pilot. I never really wanted to be. I never really have understood all of those metaphors in songs about free as a bird or happy as a bird, you know. I always thought that birds were just very difficult prey for cats. But flight might have some advantages. But I have been told that there is an instrument in most every airplane, certainly any sophisticated airplane, that's called a horizon. And it seems to me that this is a very stupid instrument because it tells you which way is up and which way is down. Now, does it seem like that is just a waste of instrumentation to you? Do you know which way is up? And do you know which way is down? Most of the time, you do. But if you strap yourself into a jet airplane and you accelerate to the point that you get enough lift that you can actually break the bonds of gravity and take flight, there is a period of time. It's a very dangerous time for a pilot in takeoff when the forces that are causing you to lift off fool your body and you cannot tell which way is up and which way is down without an external point of reference. Now, if you're flying over land and you can see blue sky and green grass, you might be okay. But if you're taking off into a fog bank or end up in a low-hanging cloud and all of a sudden visibility is bad, guess what? You cannot find which way is up and which way is down. And before they started putting this little instrument called an horizon in the dashboard of an airplane, pilots were known to do stupid things, like take nosedives into the ground, fly into the sides of mountains, turn sideways, crash into the ocean, all while they thought they were flying straight up, climbing to reach the sky. Sort of a great metaphor for humans and the way we govern our lives. We think we know which way is right, and we don't, because we inevitably pursue our own interest. And sometimes that might lead us in a semi-correct direction. But there are going to be those circumstances, those days when it's gray and cloudy and our other external references are lost, and we don't know what the right direction is. There has to be an answer to this dilemma. There has to be some way to fix all of this messed up nest in the world, or this nest of messed up people anyway. There just has to be. It comes in that second part of the scripture that I read for you. And it's so very interesting the way Jeremiah decides to phrase that. Correct me, O Lord. See, there is a God. I'm not it. And the only chance for me to find out what is right in this world is for me to find God and listen to His direction. Correct me, O God. Be that horizon on my dashboard when I'm taking off. Steer me so I'm always headed the right direction. Because my own way will lead to destruction. If I follow my own path, I will end up messed up. And what's worse, I'm going to mess other people up along the way. Correct me, O God. But not in your anger. Very interesting that Jeremiah adds that in. It's a prophetic voice. Not in your anger. God, don't judge me justly. The prophet had wisdom enough to know that human beings do not want justice, we want mercy. Because if we got justice, if we got what we deserved, we wouldn't like it very much. I'm not sure that we would be here. Not in your anger, or you will bring me to nothing. We are sometimes tempted to think that God deals with us in His anger. We are sometimes tempted to think that bad things that happen in the world, God made them happen. Sometimes very stupid preachers say things in public, like God causes earthquakes as judgment on nations. Ever think that God made the earth and the tectonic plates, and this earth just kind of does exactly what God designed it to do, and sometimes people get in the way? They build houses in the wrong places. They cluster on the seashores and next to fault lines. And when the earth does what the earth was designed to do, we suffer because we got in the way. I know, O Lord, says the prophet, that the way of human beings is not in their control. Left to our own devices, we will mess up, be in the wrong place at the wrong time, cluster in groups in the wrong places, build where we will ultimately suffer destruction. Into this world, into this predicament, God comes to our rescue. Can't preach that whole sermon this morning. It would be afternoon, and you would be hungry, and you would stop listening before I finished. So you just have to sort of get the synoptic version. God did not deal with us in His anger. God dealt with us not with justice, but with mercy. He looked at our messed up ness. He looked at this world full of messed up people. And instead of acting with justice, He acted with mercy. And He sent His Son, Jesus, who lived among us, who showed us the way to God, who taught us what was right and what was wrong, acted then and now like that horizon on the dashboard of that airplane, taught us the way up from the way down. If we will turn to Him, if we will cede control of our lives to Him, we will trust that Jesus knows which way is right and not trust ourselves. We will find God has dealt with us. He has corrected us. And He has given us mercy, not justice. Next week, I hope that we will get a little more fuller explanation. Is that a right word? More fuller explanation? That's bad English, but good preacher talk. A more complete explanation of the mercy of God provided for us in Jesus. But the grace of God is the same today as it will be next week. And I never know when the Lord has spoken to someone. So I'd like to give us a moment or two to have a few quiet moments. If the Lord has dealt with you, if somehow through the foolishness of preaching, God has said today's the day for you to trust in Jesus, would you do that? Would you give Him your life? Would you trust His way over your own? Let's pray together today. Gracious Heavenly Father, how I pray that the truth of Your word and not the feebleness of the messenger would be heard, would be received by Your people. I ask that Your Holy Spirit would convince us, everyone, that we are not the right pilot for this thing called life. That we should cede control of our life, of our very being, to Jesus, Your Son, our Savior. And I pray that as we trust Jesus with our lives, we would find that our sins are forgiven, that our lives are improved both here and in the hereafter. Bless now, I pray, those who have come into Your house. Meet a blessing out for each one, fit for their needs in the coming days. Dismiss us with Your blessing and the guidance of Your Holy Spirit to lead us in the right way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.